You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What's good, Goaters? It's your host, Lurk. I just want to say welcome back and thank you for listening to the Van Flip Podcast. If you're listening to us on a platform that you can rate and review us, please do so. That greatly helps us out. Shoot us a 5-star. For all the up-to-date what's happening in the metal and hardcore scene, you can visit lambgoat.com. Keep up to date following our social media at Lambgoat on both Twitter and Instagram, and you can also find us on Facebook. If you want to watch all these podcasts on video format, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have a lot of other content and some stuff over there that you could check out. Just search Lambgoat or the Van Flip Podcast and you'll find it. And if you dig what we're doing here at the Van Flip Podcast, go ahead and visit our Patreon page and become a Patreon supporter. For just $5 a month, your support helps the Van Flip grow and continue to improve in each episode. Plus, you get some pretty cool perks and swag that go along with it as well.
On this episode of the Van Flip Podcast, we have Brendan Murphy, vocalist for both Counterparts and End.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is stuff. Oh no, what's this?
Lambgoat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
Yeah, I got a I got a claw. To be fair, I've been drinking a lot of them. So,
I don't think you're the only one.
Something tells me it's a bit of a
their stocks up like
bit of a national phenomenon.
Yeah.
But
all right. Well, welcome back to another episode of Lambgoat's Van Flip Podcast. Almost didn't get that one out there.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, we'll start that one over. Nah, we'll just keep it rolling. Let's keep it going.
That's fine. You can call it the Van Lose a Wheel Podcast because we already did that about a week ago.
But. Oh, you blew out your tire?
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of which, you know, we are sitting here because we're already like chummying up right now.
Yeah, but exactly.
Who am I here with today?
My name is Brendan Murphy. I sing in Counterparts and End as well.
Nice. Yeah, there's
but both, mostly both those mostly bands. Counterparts.
mostly my full time band is that, and sometimes
yes,
I have free
sometimes,
time. I have
you know, sometimes when I'm off, I do End stuff. But,
so you guys blew a tire out. This is new news.
Yeah. Well, we like. So we've been.
You're currently like, on tour with like the pure noise.
Yeah. Stick to Your Guns, Us, Terror, Sanction, Year of the Knife.
Pulse of Truth.
So we like. We used to be like for just a bit of a backstory. We used to be the band that always like broke down. We would always like our vans were always shot. Trailers would blow up, like God knows what. We'd miss so many shows, and we started renting everything.
You gotta get on the bus,
you know.
Man.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, everyone says that. I'm like, all right, like you know, maybe one day.
Much easier said than done.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like we could do it, but then after a tour, it's like, oh, I get nothing.
Yeah, no money.
Rockin'. But
sweet vacation.
So we like that's the thing. It'd be like it would be fun. It'd be amazing, but you know. Obviously, I'm in a band to make money. You know, right. Why else would I do it?
Chicks, drugs, and money, man.
You know, the Holy Trinity. That's all we're here for.
Everyone's trying to be Motley Crue these days. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, they watch you watch one Netflix original about them, and everyone wants to be Machine Gun Kelly. But going back to the wheel, we had like a trailer thing. Our like trailer tire was like straight up wobbling. So we had to get that replaced. Then we were driving. We get to the venue in Brooklyn, and we hear like we walk by the van, and we hear like a pfft, and we're all like, "What the hell is that?" And the valve is punctured. So we called someone like Green Van. Like we went from Green Vans, and like they're sick. You know what I mean? Like they take care of all of this stuff for us.
Is it like a band rental company for like bands?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like it's Andy from Defeater. It's like his company, and they're based out of like Mass and Philly and LA and stuff like that. So they've got
all these
kind
bands
of,
tour all the time, and a lot of bands seem to come from that area.
Exactly, that's the thing. Yeah, it's like you kind of just pick. The tour is going to start either on the East Coast or the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't think people usually don't start a tour, and at least not us anyway. But it'd be nice. It'd be a way easier drive for us, but you know it is what it is. But so Andy gets this guy. It's like Ford. He gives us Ford Roadside. We call the dude. Comes. He changes the tire. And then the next day we drive from Brooklyn to Pittsburgh and the van starts being like really weird. It's like real wobbly and stuff like that. And so we We pull off at, like, we try to pull off at this rest stop, and Tyler, like, can't control the van, and we're all like, okay, what the hell is going on? And we get out, and there's like two nuts left on the wheel. It's like, you can see like the actual, like, you know, bolts that stick out that you screw the wheel onto. Like, they're like, they're filed down in the middle. They're like just barely hanging on. It's like, we had another 5 minutes before the wheel was going to come off. So we missed the Pittsburgh show. Got a new, like, you know, we actually were stuck at a rest stop for 9 hours. So, you know, I got to eat Popeyes a bunch and, you know, rest stop pizza and all those good things. But then we got a new van, but it was the only van that we could get. So we had to, like, and it was in Philly. Sean from Varials had to, like, leave his birthday party and drive it to us because nobody else could, which,
shout out Sean,
you know, shout out Sean for sure. Yeah. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him, but
this is the van you're currently in.
Like the van we're currently in. So everything's okay now, but it's been annoying. The other day we were driving and all the lights in the van just turned on and we lost like power. Like the lights came on and then there was no power steering or power brakes.
So it's a haunted and it was van, like, for the most part.
Pretty much. Yeah. It seems like it, but, I think it's because it's one of those newer, like, Ford, like, Transits, because they stopped making the E-Series. Mm-hmm. The back, you actually can't open it from the inside regularly. There's, like, it's, like, an emergency exit. So I think Kenny was messing around with the lever that you pull to, like, swing the door open, and it, like, senses that when you're driving, and it, like, you know, it forces you to pull over. So, you know, so I'm sure so people can't be, like, kidnapped
escaping
or whatever.
Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
So when I'm in the back and I'm like, I want to go back to school, like, they can't, you know, right. I have to continue the tour.
They have to pull over first. And
exactly.
Now they're alerted.
And talk me out of it. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, the tour's been sick. Like, it's been awesome. I think it's like it's been a long time on a tour that we've done where I haven't had to, like, meet people. Like, I came into it and I'm just like, I'm already friends with all of you. It's like, I had to, like, you know, I had to introduce myself to like three or four people, but the other 20, I'm like, yeah, we're good. We're already friends.
So, have you guys toured with like Stick to Your Guns before or Terror?
We actually, it's funny. Like, we did this tour, in like 2014. It was Stick to Your Guns, Terror, 100th, Us, and Expire. And like that happened. It's like a very similar tour, except, you know, you were trading out Expire and 100th for Sanction and Year of the Knife.
Yeah.
But we've toured with Stick to Your Guns like so many times. I think, you know, them and like Stray from the Path and like are probably up there in terms of bands that we've toured with.
Band brothers for the most part.
Exactly. Tour brothers. So, we've toured with Terror a bunch and like we always kind of like intersect and stuff like that. And,
How was it like for you guys? Cause like you guys do that. This particular band that you're in, Counterparts, band. You kind of do like the post-hardcore, not post-hardcore.
Sure, metalcore. Whatever you want to call it.
Hardcore punk, I should say. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah. Hardcore punk.
Yeah.
You kind of got that vibe. But like you also play with like, you're playing with newer type bands, I should say, like Stick to Your Guns and all those, although they have been around for a bit because I've been around as well.
Definitely, yeah. I was going to say, like they've also played older. Yeah.
Hardcore bands like Terror and stuff like that.
Sure.
How does that feel for you guys as like, cause I know you grew up obviously fans of some of these bands too.
Oh, of course.
Like,
yeah. Absolutely.
As younger individuals. So what's that like for you guys to share the stage with like people who you look up to, whether it's like current age and older?
It's awesome. I mean, like this tour is a perfect example of like, you know, I remember going to see Stick to Your Guns play like the Burlington Formac in, you know, 2000. I was like 7, maybe it was like all, I don't remember the exact year, but I remember they played This Is More 3 times. So it was like that era of the band, but you know, and then Terror as well. Like, you know, obviously, we've toured with Terror and stuff like that. And like they kick ass. And then you also, so like Terror and Stick to Your Guns, like they've obviously been doing it for longer than we have. And the people in the bands too, like, you know, like we were talking earlier, like Josh has like Evergreen Terrace and Chris is, you know, Walls of Jericho and Scott's been in, you know, Buried Alive and Despair and like all that, like Slugfest, like all that stuff. It's like, you know, there's so many, like those guys have been around for so much longer than us, but it's cool that when we do tours with them and stuff like that, it's like, you know, like we've done tours where, or like, you know, shows or whatever, where it's like, there's like older bands and stuff. And it just, it feels like they don't really like, not that they don't want to get involved with the new, like, you know, the new era of metalcore and hardcore and stuff like that. But I feel like they're just kind of like past it. You know what I mean? Like, they just get to a point where they're like, well, I'm like 45. Like, I don't.
It's different.
I don't care. Like, I have a kid and, you know.
My kid
and,
might like it.
Yeah, they're like, that's where they're at. But with, you know, and that, and I totally understand that. Like, yeah. I get that completely because, you know, there's even stuff like that we, you know, we've been a band for like, you know, 10 years or something. Yeah. And it's like, there's even stuff where I'm just like, oh man, there's like so many, like, wait, this is cool now. Like, shit, I'm kind of detached. But it's awesome that they're like the opposite of that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Stick to Your Guns bringing out like younger bands that are starting to get traction. Like, you have Sanction and You're the Knife and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's the opposite of like not that it's a bad thing, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, the older bands that are kind of like not detached, but they just
don't get it. I should say.
Yeah. They're not like digging as deep as they would have 10, 15 years ago, I think Every Time I Die is another example of a band like Stick to Your Guns and Terror and stuff where they're like Census Fail to Silverstein. Like, there's so many bands that have been around for so long that it's like they're at a point where they're like, I think are like, we're going to be the size that we are. I think this is kind of our world now. This is where we're going to stay. And then they in turn use that to be like, okay, well, now it's our job as like an older band to sort of like build up these younger bands and, you know, and like give these like good new bands sort of like their first breakout.
Were you saying that's what you wish would happen or you would want to happen or?
No, that's what they do. Yeah. Like, I meant like, bands like I was saying, like Stick to Your Guns and Terror, Every Time I Die, Silverstein, Census Fail. Like, those are perfect examples of like all bands that we are friends with, we've went out with and stuff. And it's like, because of a lot of those bands, like, that's why we are even a band because they had been, you know, they've been around for so long that it's like they stop. You know, they don't want to fall into that groove of like, yeah, well, whatever, just get whoever to be on the tour. Like, who cares? They want to like find new good bands to like give them an opportunity. Like, here you go, you know, like come out with us.
Particular bands, I also think, like the ones you've named and obviously the ones that are a little older too, they also kind of went through I said like glory days because I feel like, you know, mid-2000s, early-2000s for like hardcore metalcore.
I think was
like
those are the golden those glory are the days. Glory. Yeah, absolutely.
That's when they of definitely course. Like everything just kind of blew up.
Of course, yeah, totally.
But they also lived those particular bands, and not all bands did this, but lived through the lull. So they understand that
they know
the resurgence is also like super important. Do you ever find like bands that are like maybe old? So I feel like that's just a part of like, I feel like that was just a thing for the scene in general, like,
yeah, of course,
unity,
it all kind of
unified thing,
you know, it all kind of
from that time frame. But do you feel like older bands, like older even than that, some, like you were saying, like 45 ish like,
sure
they don't take the time to do that?
I think it's like, yeah, and it's not necessarily like, it's not even necessarily like an age thing. I just think that sometimes like bands, they get, you know, they get to a certain point where like it doesn't, not that they don't care and not that it's like bad. Like, if you are in a giant band and you don't give a shit, like who's supporting you or whatever, it's like, I probably wouldn't either. You know, it's like, I totally get it. Like, it doesn't change anything for you personally. And I get that. And I understand completely why certain bands would do that. But, I think that, you know, the bands that do sort of like that actually put in that like extra step, like they kind of, you know, they're like, they're sort of like solidifying their, it's not like they're not like a time piece, if that makes sense. Like, they're sort of like, you know, leaving their footprint, being like Census Fail is a perfect example of like, you know, they have this like uncanny ability to figure out like who's going to blow up, and they bring them on tour like a month before they blow up. Like, I remember, you know, they brought out like the Story So Far, like Story So Far, like opened their tour up, and then they're one of the biggest bands. Like, they brought out, we did the tour with them and like Movements, you know, they were like, Movements is playing under us. And like, I don't even think that would happen anymore. You know what I mean? Like, the band's so big now. It's like, they have that like uncanny ability to like, just like, I guess, see the future in a way, you know what I mean?
Pulse,
like,
so they say.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's, and, We've always talked about that with, like, you know, it's like Buddy, like he's just got it. You know what I mean? Like, he just,
well, some people do have that like natural knack to, like, yeah, know, like, hey, that's the shit.
This is going to blow up. Let's get, like, you know, let's get him. Let's do this thing. Like, you know, I think everybody kind of went through that too when it was like even like Knock Loose and stuff like that. Like, that was like Knock Loose, like, opened our headliner, and they were already like in 2016, they're already like,
they're headlining,
you know,
now,
like, outdrawing us. And it's just like, they're literally, you know, they're massive now. And I'm
they're one of the it bands.
It's like,
right now,
let's go, you know. And I feel like you either have, there's like two ways that you could go about it. Like, you can either get frustrated and be like, well, we've been around longer. Like, why isn't our band blowing up? Or you can just be like, that kicks ass. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
in the long,
like,
run, it's beneficial for everyone, because someone who may get into Knock Loose may get into Counterparts later on.
Of course, absolutely. You know what I mean? And that's
just grows the little brand, the hardcore metalcore brand.
For sure. And I feel like, you know, there's been tons of times where, like, you know, we brought bands out or whatever, and they start doing like really well. And like, we did a tour with like fucking Chunk, No Captain Chunk, and us and State Champs and Living With Lions, and like, State Champs are playing under us and they're massive now. And it's like, you think that if State Champs were like, hey, you want to be direct support for us, I would be like, we can't do that. Like, they already played under us. Like, we can't do that. It's like, yo, you're dreaming. Like, of course I would take that. Yeah. Like, they're my friends. I love that my friends succeed. It makes me feel great. You know what I mean?
What kind of, like, this particular tour is kind of like more hardcore punk.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, it's definitely more on that.
What
on
do you
that
prefer?
Side.
Do you prefer a more like diverse demographic of bands on there, to where like you might have a better chance of like opening up your audience?
Yeah, I do. I actually do.
Do you guys,
like,
flourish in that atmosphere better than like
either
a headlining tour or this kind of tour?
I think that like when we, because like we did like our headliner last year, we had like, you know, it was us, it was Being as an Ocean, Have Mercy, Varials, like, you know, like it was like none of the bands really sounded the same, I guess. Like, I think like us and Being as an Ocean, if you know were in the same world, but I think sonically it's very two different bands. But like that sort of is like, you know, when there is something for everybody, like all the mixed bill stuff, like I personally like going to a show. I prefer that because I can guarantee that I'm not going to hear, you know, the same band four or five times throughout the night. Like, I love that. But also I think for our band as well, like, we kind of thrive in that situation. Like that Census Fail tour we talked about, it was Census Fail, us, Movements, and Like Pacific. So it was like, we were the only heavy band on that Chunk of Cabin Chunk tour. Like, same thing, like Chunk, us, State Champs, Living With Lions, like, we're the only heavy band.
It's good that you stick out
like,
a little bit.
That's like, it's odd, but like, that's where we do the best. Because mm-hmm. I would see people's faces like on that Census Fail tour. It'd be like, you know, like Census Fail fans, and you know, they see like Pacific and they're like, yeah, cool, like pop punk stuff. And then Movements are like, yeah, it's like indie kind of thing. And then we go on and I'm like, you know, I start screaming and I'm like, yeah, you fucking morons, like stuff like that. And all these people are like, what's happening? Like, what's going on
right
now?
My mom's gonna be pissed I'm listening to this.
Yeah, sure. And then, but then they like, they see that and then they go like, what the fuck was that? Like, what is that band? Like, and then we kind of benefit from it because we stand out because like people are leaving the show and they're going like, what that third band, like, what the hell was that? Like, that guy was like making fun of us. Like, what's his deal? And then, you know, then we see like next time we do a headliner, we see kids in like Census Fail shirts like coming up and talking to us like, I never heard your band, but you guys went on before Census Fail and it was fucking crazy. And I'm like, those are the tours that we should be doing.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, all in all, like, headlining rocks. Like, headlining,
obviously,
headlining, like,
for you know,
like, it,
but you can't really, like,
it
you don't
rocks,
grow your,
but
your
no,
audience that much.
Exactly. Like, that's, you know,
and it is a business, folks.
Yeah. And like, that's, yeah, of course. And, you know, I think we're getting to a certain point where it's like, I think that if we only headline for the rest of our career, we could probably like be okay. Like, we're not going to get, like you said, we're definitely not going to get much bigger than we are, but
I didn't say that,
but no, but like, but you know what I mean? Like, you don't grow your audience at all if all you do is headline, which is like, that's, you know, like I completely agree with that. But I think that if we did that, like, I would be content. But sometimes you just gotta, like, you know, you have to, like, put your, like, pride aside and be right. Like, okay, you know what, like, if we headline, like, we get to kind of call the shots and, you know, we're, like, the band and it's, like, really cool mm-hmm. and, you know, whatever we want, we can kind of get it. Like, we don't want Tanqueray. We want Hendrix. Yeah. You know, like, that type of shit. But
all the mixers now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I want tonic and soda. Give me both. I mean, you know, but when tours come along that are, like, a very obvious, like, you know, it's like, yeah, you want to play to, like, 1,000, 1,500 kids. And, you know, you're not going to headline. Like, in fact, you're going to be opening, but, like,
the crowd,
you want to do it. It's like, well, yeah. Like, when we did the Architects tour in Europe, it was like Architects While She Sleeps and Us. And it was like, I text Sam and I was like, we'll do it. You have to promise me that we play an hour after Doors. Like, I need your word that we at least have an hour. Cause, like, we're playing, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 cap venues. And I'm like, if they put us on, if Doors are at 7 and we go on at 7:15, like, we're screwed.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like laughable. But he's like, yeah, you're good. It's in the contract. You're cool. Set. But, you know, even though it was like we were the opening band and like we were very obviously like the least amount of priority, you know, if someone's like, you want to play to 10,000 people in London, it's like, oh, No,
that sounds like shit.
I'm good. It's like, yeah, obviously. Like, obviously I want to play Alexandra Palace. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
There were a couple weird tours that I that recently happened, or yep. I guess currently yep. happening. One being, I mean, just weird to me, obviously.
Sure,
not
sure.
Weird to the world. But, like, Under Oath is currently supporting, like, Alice in Chains and Korn.
Sure. You know what I mean? Like, that's... It's weird, but...
But when you think about it, like, it's so smart on their part.
Of course.
Part.
Absolutely. You absolutely. Know I mean? You know, and I mean, I think that, like, you know, maybe if it was like Under Oath doing They're Only Chasing Safety era,
right.
People going to see like Alice in Chains would be like,
what is that?
The fuck is going on yeah. right now? You know, but I think it makes a little bit more sense now because, you know, they're.
I would assume they're playing, you know, more of their newer record particular tour.
Of course. Of course. I would think so. I think, you know, Under Oath headliner. Or, you know, even like another tour that's like more in that world, like, I'm sure people are like, yo, can you play like Reinventing Your Exit? Like, can you just give it to me? But that, you know, it's also like a blessing too, because like on those tours, like, you get to decide who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, you get to decide like your.
Cause you're reinventing yourself. No pun intended,
like,
with that song.
Exactly.
But you're reinventing yourself though. For like a completely different crowd.
Of course. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like those movies where, like, you know, the kid's in high school and he's like a nerd or something. And yeah. then his parents move and then he's like, I can be anyone I want. Like, yeah. I'm going to show up in like a leather jacket and sunglasses.
Speaking of leather jackets, Spencer can wear that out there and they're okay with it. But we know Spencer from like raggedy t-shirt days.
So straight up hip print days back. You know what I mean? But it's
a little weird,
like,
man.
Sure. But that's the thing is like when we headline, like, you know, kids, like when we're like on stage and shit, like between songs, like kids know us and they're like making jokes and they're like, you know, we're all having a good time. And it's like, you know, everyone's like, do the fucking Wedding Singer song, like as a joke or something, you know, or like people are bringing drinks up. Like, I know you like Jameson, you fucking alcoholic. And I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, these people know us. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, on these like bigger tours and stuff, like you kind of get to
boot off stage.
You know, like, sure. you kind of get to like pick how you want, you know, you get to like, the crowd perceives you like exactly how you
sell
see
it to
fit.
Them.
You know what I mean? And that's also like, that's really cool. And it's really valuable, especially if you're at a point in your career where like, you know, yeah, maybe like us, maybe if we get to a point where making like joke t-shirts and telling the crowd, I don't give a shit what you do because we get paid anyway. Like that yeah. type of stuff. Like maybe one day we'll get sick of that and we'll want to like reinvent ourselves as, you know, a serious band. But even thinking about that pisses me off. So I really hope we don't have to do that.
You like being the Joker band.
Yeah. Because it's like, we're like dumb. Like
it's more fun.
It's so much more fun,
yeah.
You know? And like that, like, and actually like when we first, cause like we've always been like that. Like, I mean, me especially, like I've always been like goofy and I don't really take
right.
stuff like that seriously. And I just want to have fun. And a lot of people like earlier on, like they really had a problem with that. I think it's cause like you know, people's like, you know, initial reaction was like, well, I can't take the guy who's singing about how he wants to die seriously when he's on stage, like dancing and making jokes,
yeah,
because it doesn't make sense to me. And I'm like, well, like, no offense, but like, it shouldn't, like, does it have to make sense to right. you? Like, it makes sense to me. Like, I put all my misery into the lyrics. And then when I'm on stage, like, I'm done with that part.
Right.
You know, like, I'm just, that part's done. Like, now it's my fun time. Like, now I get the payoff, like, bite me. You know what I mean? Like, I get to do whatever I want up here. And a lot of people really didn't take to that at first. And then eventually, I think over time, people were just like, he's not going to stop. Right. Like, he's not going to change. Like, I'm not going to get him to like be serious. So like, it's either we fuck with this or we don't listen to the band anymore. So thankfully it worked out.
I want to kind of bring up the new album just so we can get, you know, cause
sure.
I keep getting these, questions in my head that I want to ask you. So
yep.
it pushes that segment a little further back. So I just want to knock that out.
Yep.
We'll come back to something pertaining to like lyrical content. Cause something I wanted to bring up. So, you guys have been working on a new album.
Yep.
Should be coming out at some point this year.
Yeah, like later on in the year. Yeah, like I was saying earlier, like I don't really know a date, but it'll be this year, assuming nothing goes wrong.
But it's finished.
It'll. Like it is. We're done. We've done our part. So you know, it's like it's a matter of, you know, just like wrapping all that stuff up, and I guess like
when it's slotted for release, they say
exactly. Yeah, like doing all the you know, the boring stuff that I don't do, that, you know, we were at the studio, we did it, it is done. We're playing like a new song on this tour, but it's like, it's an intro. Like a lot of people are coming up being like, that new song rocks. I'm like, cool, but it's also like dun 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 dun,
yeah,
dun,
and like teaser.
that's it, you know. They're like, oh man, this new record's gonna be crazy. I'm like, you got that from like Chugs,
yeah,
and one sentence. The lyrics are one sentence, but sure. I mean, I'll take that over people hearing that and being like, "They lost it,
garbage,
garbage. They're done. You know, fuck them." But
so, yeah, is it like, how is it different than the previous albums have been, or is it just
nah? Yeah, okay. Like that's like I like in an interview the other day, like someone was asking me like, is like, did you, you know, what was it like? Like, did you do anything different? And I'm like, No, it's the same. It's like, I mean, like,
do you guys just write continuously throughout the year and stuff like that, or we knock an album out?
Just go. It's okay. With us, me personally, like, I don't write a word until I'm in the studio, like until the pre-pro and stuff is done, just because like, I did it in the past, and then like, you know, I'd be stoked.
So you basically write your lyrics to almost completed songs for the most part.
Like as they are literally completed.
Preferably, I would do the same in my ideal.
It's just easier because then, like, you know, then you don't write this song to a song that's finished in your head, and then later on, you know, like Will or whoever's producing it for us, it's always Will, but you know, people being like, you know, yeah, like, well, this part's different now, and we actually cut the end, like the last 30 seconds off, and this part that was really slow is really fast now, and then I have to be like,
change
shit,
that up.
I have to like find a way to rewrite it, so I just wait, but...
It's always, I think I prefer that, but also I think I worry that, you know, like some bands use like vocal cadence and pattern to also accentuate a song. Not saying writing it
after
the fact doesn't do that, but... I also feel like it's kind of like this weird.
I feel like it works. It works for us, and like that's why I do it. And like I'm just so used, because I've done it for the last, like, you know, I've been doing that since 2013.
Years,
you know what I mean? So it's like it's been a while, and that is what I'm used to. But I feel like with Counterparts and like, you know, even End and stuff like that, it's like we're like, there's like catchy parts, but it's not. We're not like a pop style band. If we were like, you know, I mean, like Counterparts and End will never go down that route. But like, let's say I was like in a pop band and I was singing or something like that, or like a, you know, like a punk band or like rock band, whatever you want to call it. With that, I would write as it comes to me and be like, okay, I've got this like vocal melody and now we got to try and write a song to it. You know what
there
I mean?
Like different bands also, like different genres.
Sure, of course,
that definitely matters.
In the pop world, it's like that's it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like we're
the voice is an instrument.
Yes, yeah. we're building entire songs over a thing that you like hummed in the shower. Once.
Yeah, screaming over stuff is not necessarily
it's the hardest thing to do. It's pretty easy, honestly. Like it's pretty like I lucked out with that. It's pretty easy.
Do you help load in?
Sorry?
Do you ever help load in?
Yeah.
Singles never really help load in.
Honestly,
I didn't,
yeah.
You know what I did? When I was in a band.
It's crazy. I like, you know, I'll like do that and then.
There's so much more like, you gotta do. You gotta be like front man stuff. Like you're here on the interview.
You know, I gotta do the interview thing, but I do it. Sometimes like, you know, I mean, like I'm not gonna like help people pack their stuff up on stage. Like obviously if they asked, if they were like, hey, can you like, if Kyle was like, yo, can you put my cymbals in the cymbal case? Mm-hmm. It'd be like, oh yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. But you know, if Adrian or Blake are like, hey, can you like, you know, take my head off and like wrap up all the cables and make sure everything's good? I'm like, I can't.
I have to put my mic up.
I can't make sure everything's good because I don't know what I'm doing.
Right,
like
right.
I can physically lift something from the trailer into the venue and vice versa. But packing stuff up, it'd be like, watch, we get to the next show and someone would be like, every single pedal I have is broken.
Right, right, right. Like, yeah, I don't want to like mess anyone's stuff up. That's why I normally didn't really like lug heavy equipment or anything.
And it's a really good excuse too.
Yeah, true.
It's a perfect excuse.
I gotta do vocal warm-ups and drink some tea lemon or honey tea and stuff, you know, with lemon.
My warm-ups are, you know, I maybe put on a different shirt and then I have a couple shots.
There you
go. Those are my warm-ups. It's I've worked out a pretty good system.
So bringing up lyrical content and all that good stuff, this is not really pertaining to you, but I just wanted to kind of get your idea on it. So like last week, obviously, or was it this week or last week? It doesn't matter. It'll be last week when this comes out.
Yep.
So that we had the double shooting thing here in America.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
And the one kid had
the Casey Strain
thing on there.
Yep.
Do you think that will change like bands going forward, their lyrical content? Because I mean, like, and again, like we talked about like lyrical content earlier, that's why I wanted to bring it up there, but I wanted to get that new album stuff out.
Yep.
Some lyrics obviously can be taken seriously and some can't be taken seriously.
Of course, yeah, totally.
But will that change like the way you write lyrics going forward?
I mean, like we had a conversation about it in the van and I was like both bands that I play in and write the lyrics for, it's going to sound like egotistical, but I just don't really write anything. Like I don't write about anything other than myself, right. I guess, you know what I mean? But other bands do that. And I think that, you know, that is your artistic, you have every right to be doing that and stuff like that. But, I think that for me personally, like I wouldn't be like, I'm writing the songs for me and they're all about me and like things that I've been through personally. And I'm sure, you know, with Vincent, it's like the same thing. Like he obviously didn't write that song thinking in a million years that somebody would take it, you know, literally and, you know, do something as
I didn't really project it as like, because I know like the shirt he had on was for a certain song, but I didn't really mean it that way.
In general too, and it's like, you know, like if I feel like
I don't
it,
think
like,
the two were tied together. I don't think it. I mean, I would hope not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
But I'm not
like
in the head
I,
of anybody,
I
so.
Can't imagine anyone writing stuff like that, like in our world, especially like that, where they want to like truly incite any type of violence or something like that, you know? And it's like, even like, we even have songs, you know, songs where, you know, I'm like, that are about people that I dislike or whatever, like, you know, real true, like people that have treated me like shit. And even then it's like, I go into detail, but it's like, obviously I don't want to like do any harm to anyone.
Right,
you know what I mean? And like, I don't actually want those people to like die, you know what I mean? But I feel like there might be, you know, people might just be more like, not necessarily cautious, but they might be a little bit more careful when they are writing and stuff. And
that's something you never really had to think about before, but you may have to start thinking about
Yeah, of course. And it's like, I would have never in a million years thought that, like, thought about that. Because, like, when I think about that stuff, I think about, like, you know, going back to, like, Marilyn Manson and people, like, blaming him.
Yeah, it used to be just kind of, like, weird
for Columbine.
Shit like that.
And it's like, you know, and then...
Or mainstream, more mainstream type...
Like all, yeah,
people. It's
sure,
like the
all that
like
stuff.
One of the first
like,
times that's kind of
like oh, you play the fucking Beatles record backwards, and you know the kids worship the devil now, and they're gonna do bad shit. It's like
you know, if it was people listening, I mean, honestly, if it was people listening to lyrics, I feel like a lot of people that would do bad things would wear a lot of like death metal shirts more. You know, there's a lot more people. There's a lot more lyrical content, whether it's. You know, any kind of genre, but I feel like songs like Hammer Smash Face and a lot of Cannibal Corpse stuff, those could be a little
like
misleading into where like if you were taking that literally.
Of course, and that's the thing is like, you know, it's just about like having enough, I guess like common sense or like...
People need more hugs.
Maybe not even, straight up. Maybe not even like common sense, but I mean like obviously if somebody has a mental illness... Maybe they...
We're talking about something... Now you're talking about something that no one wants to talk about.
Sure. I could stop if you want.
No, you don't have
to. You understand what I mean, right? Where it's like, obviously, anything can be swayed in a certain direction based off of... Right. Like, depending on who's listening to it. But, like...
It's violent video games right now.
Sure. Yeah, like, that's another thing, too, where it's like, you know, like... Again, going back to, like, the 90s and stuff, like, or 80s or whenever the hell it was, and it's like, people being like, yeah, like, Doom, like, kids are gonna... go crazy because they're playing Doom and stuff, and it's just like
the amount of people that play Call of Duty and first person shooter games in general on a regular day-to-day basis.
Yeah, straight up.
If that's the case, there would be so much more
It would be way, the world would be way worse off but I think that, you know, in terms of lyrics and stuff like that, like in the grand scheme of things, like I obviously like it's terrible, but like I feel bad for Vincent too. Honestly,
because
like
general.
He's in the weird spot where like you know he's got fucking like news anchors telling like you know on the air being like the guy like this mass shooter did it because he likes the Acacia strain and it's like imagine being like
yeah,
Vincent
wonder,
and
I
being
if
like
Vincent's gonna sit with like Nancy Grace or something like that. They're gonna have him
you know
on,
yeah you know
like
you know what I mean. It's like is that what it takes? Like is that where you know is that where it's like where it's at now, you know, like, were we going to bring that stuff back and, like, actually be, like, you know, you're going to have fucking Twisted Sister guy, like, yelling at Tipper Gore, and, like, all, it's like, dude.
It's one of those things, you know? Like you were saying, like, I think a lot of it, people just go crazy in general, but that's also, like, a mental health thing. More so than, like, outside influence thing, but that's something that's not really talked about in this country, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, definitely. And it's
speaking
like,
of not from this country...
Not from this country. I'm absolutely not.
Yeah. So you're from the Great White North.
I am. Yes.
How you're from Ontario, and I kind of have connections with Quebec. We talked about that earlier.
Of course. Yeah.
How was it? I never really went to any shows when I was up there. I've traveled back and forth many times, but like,
sure.
How is the scene in Canada as far as like that kind of like art, like that kind of genre? Like
it was.
Is touring in Canada like, better than touring in America for you guys, or is it just
touring
more people down here?
Touring America is better than touring everywhere on Earth.
Really?
Well, I
for
mean,
you
like
guys in particular, or
I
do
mean,
you have a consensus as a group of touring bands?
For us, I mean, it's like, I definitely have like, I mean, like I love touring in Japan. It's like that's my favorite.
Cool for you,
exactly. Yeah, like that's my favorite place on Earth, personally. But I mean, like you know, from a like, I guess, like, a business standpoint, it's not great. Like, we pretty much, like, we go there and there's a guy, Koba. He plays in that band Loyal to the Grave. Mm-hmm. We kind of just, like I just message him on Instagram and I go, like, Koba, we want to come back. And he's like, okay, like, let me know how much your flights are and I'll just pay for that. And then it's like, okay. So we go into it and we don't make any money.
Right.
Like, it does nothing for the business aspect, but I'm like, yo, free trip,
cool vacation.
Free trip, like trip to Japan. Like, yeah,
so it like,
sounds,
it's your number
sounds
one
fucking
spot?
Sick.
You like Japan a lot?
Yeah, I would say that's probably my number one. I mean, like Australia is the same. The only difference is Australia, the Australian dollar and Canadian dollar, are on par and everything's really expensive there. So sometimes we go and we, we make a, you know, selling like $30 t-shirts is kind of fucking tight.
Yeah, there you go.
But we never do that here, obviously. but yeah, like, you know, touring, like Canada's music scene is, you know, years ago it was better. I'll say like the, you know, like we were talking about, like the early 2000s, right. Like that era, mm-hmm. like when, you know, Hamilton, I mean, I can only speak from at that point. I think I was, you know, I was in the eighth grade, so I didn't really travel, obviously, but 2004-ish, it was like, we had a venue called the Underground in Hamilton, and it was like, that was, you know, some of the biggest, you know, crazy bands would have played there, like in Hamilton. And now, given the lack of like venues for that size, and I think just like promoters and kids in general that are going to shows, like My Chemical Romance played the Underground. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I saw like Converge and Dillinger play the Underground. You know what I mean? Like in Hamilton. And now it's like, if there's a show in Hamilton, like it's like probably us. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah. like obviously there's other bands, and it's like, you know,
your neighborhood friends are back.
Of course. Yeah. It's like, cool. Yeah. Like I'll make the 10-minute drive from my parents' house to the venue, and you know, it'll be good. All my friends will come. But, in Canada, like as a country, it's like, there's not really many places to like play now. Like back in the day, you could do like a full month long Canadian tour. And now I think it's like, you can, but it's not going to be like cool.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, like, cause I know
10 shows will rock, and then the other 20 will be misery. Well,
there's not a lot of people up there.
It, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what people don't understand too. I think a lot of,
you know, back in the day when you,
what's like 20 million or something.
I don't
the whole country.
I'm not even sure. Honestly, I wish I.
I'm gonna ballpark it.
I wish I would have looked that one up before this, because I look like a bad Canadian. I might get my. It might not let me back in.
We got someone looking it up.
When I try to go,
it's
home.
Probably. Okay, I think the last time I saw it might have been like 15 mil at some point, but I'm just kind of like ballparking.
Sure.
But yeah, that would definitely.
Yeah, and
lend a reasoning as to why that doesn't work out.
Exactly.
And you only have like 10 major cities
up there. The drives are like. They're so, I mean, like when you get to like Southern Ontario, like the drives are very
37 million.
Okay, cool.
Okay. Well, we were a little off.
Yeah. A little
maybe
bit
half.
Off, but I'm glad that I know that now. Yeah. That's good. You know, I hope I don't get
a lot of people left
called
Trump
up for that
elected,
one.
You know what I mean? So
sure. A lot of people bounced. But like, you know, like when you, the drives are like not only long too, they're like actually kind of dangerous.
Yeah, super, depending on what time you're traveling.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, if you're going in the summer, it's like, okay, maybe I'll like hit a fucking moose and die. Or, you know, or you drive in the winter and you're like, oh, there's a blizzard and we're going to flip. Like,
yeah,
you know,
going
we're
like
going to van flip podcast off the fucking road.
40 miles an hour on black ice. You have to just like cruise down the highway so slow.
Straight up. Yeah. And it's like, you know, and I think that, you know, when you, now, like, and a lot of people get, like, upset, like, when you know, we'll post a thing and people are like, you're from Canada, like, you're not going to come play, like, Fredericton. And I'm like, would anyone go?
Yeah.
Would anyone go?
I know
if
you and your boys
that,
are big fans, but, like, is that
sure,
about it?
Yeah, and it's like, when watch, and then we would go and do that, and then they'd be like, well, not tonight, I have an exam.
Yeah.
I'm not going. And it's like, well...
Hey, at one point we were doing that, you know what I'm saying? At one point we were playing those shows. We could play those shows.
Exactly. And we did. We really did, you know, like we used to play Halifax, like back in the day. Like there was a venue in Halifax called the Pavilion that we would go to all the time. Or we were good friends with this band, Cypher Sonizer from Halifax. And like, we would always like we would do tours with them in Canada where it would either start in Halifax and come out to Toronto and then back, or it would be the other way around. And, you know, it'd be in Halifax and we'd play, there's like this skate park that had a venue called the Pavilion, and we'd play there and there'd be like 400 kids and it'd be amazing. And then that place shut down. And then it's like, we haven't been since. Like the last time we were there was 2015.
Do you think venues are shutting down like all over? Not just Canada.
I mean,
do you find like the availability of venues in?
Yeah. I mean, I think it depends on the city, but you know, there's been a number of cities that.
And would that have
to
do with like festivals? Would that have a bad negative effect on that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess it would depend, like, if you know, if the festival is, like, you know, if, like, we were talking about, like, Riot Fest. Like, if they did if Riot Fest is, it was Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, like, if, you
well,
know.
A couple of different places, but yeah.
Mainly Chicago. But it's like, you know, I guess if Riot Fest popped up and then all these venues closed down, because of that, or, you know, or it was like,
well, I shouldn't say like Chicago's like, a harder, but that's thing. The thing, a bigger like, city, you know,
yeah,
I mean?
Chicago, it's like there's no fucking shortage of venues, yeah, in major like, cities where a lot of the festivals are, but
because I wonder how that affects, because it does affect touring for bands in general,
for sure,
festivals,
for sure.
Festivals
yeah,
too,
totally, yeah,
and with
of
the
course.
Growth of festivals being like yep. the thing right now,
and even just a thing like. There's too many fucking bands. Well, you know what I mean? Like, there's
yeah, well, the internet is like super, you know, made that.
Of course. It's like there's.
For better or worse, a thing.
There's so many bands out right now. And it's like, you know, even like back, like when Warped, like, I mean, I know they just came back for like the three shows or whatever. But I remember like before we got a Warped offer, we were like, well, it's summer. Like, let's just go and do a headliner in the summer. Mm-hmm. And like. Managers and booking agents being like, you can't go on tour when Warp's happening. Are you nuts? Like, no one's going to go to your show. And I'm like, no one would spend $10 to see us during Warp. Like, everyone loves to go outside and get fucking heat stroke and, you know, like that stuff. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever.
But I mean, that used to be like the only thing.
Straight up.
Yeah, yeah, like, at least for this kind
and,
of
and that
stuff.
Was, yeah, and that was it. But. I don't know. It's like, I think that, you know, I think that like, I think that as people get older and stuff like that, like, I mean, it's no surprise. Like people come and go out of,
yeah, yeah.
out
well,
of
people
like
get
the
kids,
heavy,
people like
the heavy
go
music,
out of stuff.
Of course. And then like, I have friends where I'm like, yo, we're playing a show tomorrow. Like you live 10 minutes away. You come in, like I'll throw you on guest list. And they're like, on a Wednesday?
Bro,
and I'm
I
like,
got work tomorrow.
And I'm like, oh, fuck, my bad. Like, shit, how could I, you know,
yeah.
how, you know, how dare I even offer? But, you know, as like, you know, like the, and like we talked about, like it comes in waves and stuff. Like, you know, early 2000s, Hamilton was great. It was fucking incredible. We had crazy bands, like, you know, and like bands were coming through and then the local scene was great. And then, you know, like oddly enough, right as we start doing stuff, it just like takes a fucking nosedive, and suddenly there's like nowhere to go in Hamilton anymore. And it's like, well, whatever. We'll.
Did you guys
have
the housing crisis problem too? Because that's around the same time, I would assume.
I'm not entirely sure.
I'm
I mean,
sure
it would,
that would
it
have
would,
something to do with it.
It would make sense.
Wise,
sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird how like that shit would tie into like, your everyday life.
It literally
life
does. Yeah, it does. Like that stuff does affect. You know, like it's crazy. You know, even,
especially the older you get, more things like that do affect your.
Of course, yeah. Even you know, even stuff like, you know, you never think like fucking going on tour and being like, yeah, like there was a you know like there was a fucking stuff as simple as like kids being in school. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like playing a college town, and you're like. Yeah, it's a summer. Fucking rock on. It's going to be a killer show tonight. No one's there. And you're like, oh, damn it. Like, I didn't even think about this. Like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? But it fucking happens. Mm-hmm. It's wild. But, you know, I think it will come full circle and everything does kind of like go in waves and stuff. And, you know, even like music, like genres have their heyday and then they go away for a minute and then they come right back and it's like everything is it's constantly turning and you know the gears are always moving so it's like it really is just kind of dependent on what's going on you know and
you'll
that's,
see a lot of those like early 90s bands like early 90s hardcore bands right are starting to come back and play like
totally yeah of course
I always wonder like why they didn't earlier. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that they're probably doing jobs and stuff like that.
Of course,
but
of
the
course,
demand
yeah.
probably was always there.
I feel like the demand was definitely always there.
Not
but
for every band, I should say, but like for
certain
bands.
But, you know, like bigger bands and like, you know, the.
Like Bane's going back on tour, you know?
Sorry?
Bane.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're like, you know, we just did like.
They weren't really that gone that long though.
No. I mean, like Alexis on Fire too. Like they, you know, they're back.
Yeah,
like,
the City Colors too big, man. There's too much shit.
You know,
going
they're like they're doing their thing, and it's like
I really wish they would tour. So when you go back home, go by Dallas's house, wherever you can find them,
knock on
like
and tell them Alexis on Fire or City in Color. Which
one? Yeah. It's only one or the other. You can only make songs with Pink doing City in Color.
Yeah, sure.
I understand it, but
yep.
Maybe have fair. You know, fair. I would say have Pink on an Alexis song, but please don't.
Yeah, maybe that'd be a little weird, but.
Pink, I wish they would tour, but you know,
but it, you know, and like that's the thing. It's like, it makes sense. And I like, in my mind, I'm like, yo, if they toured, they'd be like fucking millionaires. It'd be amazing. But then
George wants to be a fireman though, so.
Sure. Like, you know, and then, but then that's the thing. Like, they're all doing the family thing and they've all got their shit going on. And I'm like, yeah, like I get that.
Yeah, there wasn't
like
a knock. I was just saying he is a fireman. He's been a fireman for the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So it's like, you know, to, in my mind, because I play in a band still, like the idea of breaking up and coming back, I'm just like, well, yeah, if we come back, like we're doing the whole fucking thing. But then yeah. It's like, you know, but then like, what, you know, what do? You go tell your job like, hey, I'm going to be gone for like 3 months.
Right.
But then when I'm back, I
want to come back to this.
You know, when I'm back on Monday, the first Monday I'm back, like I'll be ready to work.
It's weird.
To
like,
work.
They'd
be like, you're out of your fucking mind. Like pick one or the other. And it's not an easy decision.
It kind
of
goes either way. Like we were talking, like you either are one of those bands, like, you know, stick to your guns every time I die or whatever, that just kind of like push through the
totally.
Whole 20 year,
to
20 plus year thing.
You hit it and you're like, it's not, we're here. We're yeah. always going to be here, you know?
Or you just kind of hang it up for, you know, a couple years, 10 years or so like
yeah,
that.
And then
next thing you know, you come back and you're bigger than ever.
Sure.
It's
sure,
like
totally.
Crazy how that works.
Yeah. It's like I was at like the Have Heart show in Worcester.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean? Like the perfect example. It's like, you know, like going and fucking like, and like going out pretty much on top when they were, you know, they went out at the perfect time. And then it's like, you know, like it's Have Heart, it's a hardcore band, you know, and then.
And it's crazy
then,
to see
like,
it at that size too. You know what I mean? The shows.
Yeah, literally like I was at the outdoor one and I'm just like, there's 9,000 people
yeah.
here to see Have Heart. Like
that's
this
crazy.
Is fucking insane. Like it was like, I think it was like actually the biggest hardcore show technically ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's nuts. Like I can't, you know, I can't believe that, but. It's sick, you know,
yeah.
and it's like, but then again, you know, I'm sure everyone in the world is telling them like, fucking just do a tour, man. Like just go and do a tour. And then, you know,
I mean, you like, could do it. I think it's gotta be a crazy feeling like to
sure,
not do
sure.
something for so long.
Well, of course. Then
and
come
then
back
to come
and
back
be
is like crazy, crazy.
I have to load. Like I have to, like what the fuck? I have to drive.
Well, yeah. No,
what,
and then the
tolls
part,
are like $30. They're not $3 anymore.
What size venue are they going to be playing on tour? You know what I mean? Are they playing
exactly.
arenas or are they playing like, you know,
sure, sure.
bigger
you know,
rooms
they
or
are they
playing clubs or like, you know, regular.
Exactly. And that's, and then at the same time to like, to be told that and then, go in your head, you're just like, I'm a fucking teacher, man. What?
Yeah.
Like, I have a real job.
Yeah. Maybe,
like,
I mean,
can't
again,
do,
some
I
people like,
can't do this again.
Some people
but,
like that lifestyle rather than like
sure.
a band lifestyle. Cause it is so, one
if,
of those.
Of
like,
course. Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
I see like, you know, not that I'm like that.
You think
old
younger kids have it better on tour today than you did?
I think it's like easier. Yeah.
yeah.
Like,
that's all. I feel the same.
Yeah, I definitely think it's like, it's easier to.
It's more of a norm.
With, yeah, you know what I mean? Like I, when I think about kids now being like, you know, like I'm going to go on tour or whatever, like, I feel like just like as, you know, like it's just the, all music is, it's an easier thing to grasp the concept of now. Whereas like when I told my mom, when I'm like, she's like, okay, are you going to college? I'm like, no, I'm going to metalcore school.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? I'm like, I'm going on tour.
You don't get it, Mom.
In a month. And she's like, you're fucked. Like,
yeah.
you're actually fucked. Like, are you serious? Now I think it's a little bit easier for people to like, be like, hey, I, you know, I'm going to like go do this. And
yeah,
their parents
people,
are like,
people,
oh, cool. Yeah.
People's
Spotify
parents
rocks.
Were also, depending on how, you know, depends on,
sure,
kids are
sure,
18
of course,
now
of course. Yeah,
that are going
totally.
On tour.
Yeah.
So like their parents were like, you know, my age and they grew up in this, so they're like, hey, yeah, fuck it, do it, bro.
Totally, yeah, of course. That was a thing, yeah. Like, I remember, like, when we did our first tour, like, I was 18. Like, I graduated, and then we left for tour, mm-hmm. pretty much, and I've been in doing Counterparts, like, since then. So it's like, back then, telling my parents, like, I'm gonna go on tour for a living, they were like, you're fucking nuts. Like,
yeah.
you're insane. Like, you're gonna, like, what the hell? Couldn't comprehend it, but now, you know...
You're not going to be the next Alanis Morissette, Brendan.
Exactly. And that's what they're, you know, they're like, you're like, in a, like you scream, like, where do you see this going? And I'm like, I don't know, but I got a
simple plan, but like hardcore. I don't know.
Straight up. You know, I am just a kid and
yeah.
life is a fucking nightmare, but you know, it's like that was very much a real conversation. And then now, you know, now my parents
it's a much
are
easier conversation.
They're stoked.
Have.
You know
yeah,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, wait, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to Japan. And they're like, sick.
Just
you know?
To
and
go,
like,
Mom. just to
Yeah, go. Like, we're going for nothing. We don't even fucking care. We're just going for the fun of it. And now my parents are like, you know, like, I'm like, the conversation with their friends are like, well, my fucking moron son wants to scream in a band, like, yeah, when I'm 18. And now they're like,
but see, now
it's the opposite. Now
their friends are like, my son hates his job down at whatever, whatever.
Exactly. And now they're going like, my kid's in fucking Europe playing at your festivals and stuff. Like, my mom, her favorite band's like Guns N' Roses. So, mm-hmm, like, we played Heavy Montreal a couple days ago, like the same day as Slash. And she's like telling her friends, like, my fucking kid's playing the same day as Slash. Like, this is sick. And I'm like, yeah, well, remember when you called me like a dumbass for trying to play music for a living?
Now, mom.
But yeah, straight up. But I think once I stopped, like, asking her for money to buy clothes and shoes and food, she was just like, oh, I guess he's doing okay.
Yeah.
I guess he can buy his own Vans now or Converse or whatever. He's like, fuck yeah. He doesn't bug me for $60 every couple months anymore. This is good.
Yeah. But dope. Well, that's cool. I was fucking thinking of something. Then we got onto another thing.
Yeah. So. We get into the jokes. I'm sorry.
It's cool.
I do that.
It's cool. Now I'm just trying to like skip it through, just power through it. Is what it is. Sometimes you forget.
Was it about Alexis on Fire?
I mean, I didn't want to bring them up again, but we can talk about
them. You love them.
I do. Well, I was literally just thinking because, like, we talked earlier about your name.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, that is.
So that's kind of cool.
But that is where we got the name. Yep. Yeah.
So,
like,
did you grow up big fans of those guys?
Like,
were they part of your musical influences? Definitely.
Yeah, they were, like, the first record, that was like, that was such a crazy thing because I remember seeing it on like Much Music and stuff. And that was like, that's probably one of the first things I ever heard with like screaming in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe like Slipknot, Marilyn Manson, like that type of shit. Like that might have been before that, but that was like the first time I heard anything like that. And I think that, you know, we were all, like everyone that was in the band, like the original members of the band, like we all were in the same boat where we were like, this is nuts. Like the music is so like, you know, when you look at those songs, like it's like 4 minutes of like the craziest instrumental shit. And then he starts screaming. It's like, you know, like Polaroids of Polar Bears and Pulmonary Archery and 44 Caliber Love Letter. Like, oh yeah, all those songs. And it's like the instrumental stuff. It's like, it's beautiful. And you know, you'd like be in the car, like listening to it with your parents and it, you know, you got
all of a sudden that screaming comes out. They're like, what the fuck?
And then they start hearing the screaming and they're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what the hell happened? But, you know, that philosophy, whatever you want to call it, like, that as a whole is, like, sort of why we started the band. And then when we, like, you know, the just the ability to mix, like, really melodic, like, make music, like, that's melodic but heavy, you know, and then at the same time, and it, like, alternates between the two. That's sort of like what we always tried to do. And then when we heard of Malice by Misery Signals, that was like,
yeah,
holy shit. Like that, like to me, that's like peak.
Yeah. They're right up there with you.
Metalcore.
Too, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's that, like Opposite of December, like that, you know, that within Blood Ill-Tempered, like Shai Hulud.
Do you guys,
like,
I was gonna say, do you guys, like, mess with, like Comeback Kid?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Same thing. Like, you know, all those,
like
all those
for you. For
part, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Winnipeg's like Winnipeg. There? Yeah. Yeah. Like, that all that stuff, like that's what stuck out to us. Was like, you know, when we first started, we were like just writing songs to be heavy for the sake of heavy. And then when we, you know, heard that stuff, we were like, yo, maybe we can actually like do this. Like, mm-hmm, maybe we can actually find a way to like blend melodic and heavy and, you know, interesting, like difficult yet catchy,
right,
like that type of stuff. And I think that that's like, that's why we're still doing it, is because it's like, it is a challenge more or less. Like every time we go into the studio, it's like, it is challenging to like, to not change too much. But at the same time, like we said, when you're like, is there anything different? And I'm like, fuck no, God, no. It's like, it's difficult, but you know, we, at this point, like we've been a band for so long and it's like, I think I get who we are now. You know what I mean? Like, whereas the first couple records, it's like, we're sort of, you know, we're like throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And it's like, you know, we're sort of like figuring ourselves out, both like in terms of music, but also like being kids, like, mm-hmm, being like 18 years old and doing Prophets. And then, you know, the change between that and you know, Helen Home and stuff like that. It's like, yo, you know, there's like a good like 4 or 5 year difference there. But I think that now it's like we just sort of know, we know what's expected of us, and we know what is a, what a counterpart's record is, right, and what it sounds what, like
what
and stuff. You,
what
and,
they would expect.
It to yeah, be, and, yeah. And, you know, not to say that there's anything bad with bands that do go ape shit and go,
yeah,
and
I mean,
like,
there are, and again, yeah,
we're
about some
to
bands
fucking,
that do
we're
that.
About to flip it up. And yeah. I'm like
Poison the Well, obviously they
sure,
do like
sure,
one
yeah.
of everything. It
yeah.
Like,
you know what
so.
I mean? And I'm like, that's cool. You know, like do that. But I think for me, like, whether, you know, there's no right or wrong in terms of music, and you know, like it's all subjective and stuff like that for sure. But like for us, I'm just like, I just want to get better. Mm-hmm. Like I want every record to be
just to hone the craft,
to just be better to where it's like, you know, yeah, maybe one day when we go into the studio, like I won't have to pull my hair out when I'm writing lyrics, cause it'll just be like second nature to yeah. me. But you know, it's been, I've done like fucking 8 or 9 records now, and I'm like, fuck's sake, like it's still a struggle. But mm-hmm. I do think that like with Counterpart specifically, like every sort of record that we do, or everything that we do, it's like it is indifferent. And if people are expecting, you know, some drastic change, I'm just like, well, I'm sorry, but that's not going to be yeah. us. Like it's going to sound like we got better at our instruments, because like we did, you know, yeah. when you keep doing it, you just get
plus get you're better, in but. Another band.
Sure, sure. So exactly. It's
does
like,
that help? Is that why kind of Counterparts is kind of like what Counterparts is, because you also have another outlet that's
yeah. I honestly, yeah, I agree with that. That's like, you know, because we've, I mean, like,
they're not
like,
the same band. They're totally different genres.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, you know, with Counterparts, like we've always done like those like heavy songs and stuff. And we've always had like a bit of like, you know, like this one's the ass beater on the record, whatever. But now I'm like less worried about that, because I'm just like, I've got to end. It's fine. Like, yeah. And, you know, and will satisfy my like heavy, like 90s metalcore / grind, whatever you want to call it. Like, Curse meets Turmoil meets whatever type shit. It's like I have that to satisfy that, mm-hmm. that like all of the, like, you know, the fact that I do love all those genres as well. But I think it does help me, like, sort of, you know, I'll like take a step back now and be like, I'm not gonna do like really high pitched screams over this yeah. Counterparts part, because it just doesn't make sense. I'll just save it for yeah. end, and it's fine.
So but, when's a lot of people want to know when the next end kind of material and situation will start up?
I'm not sure when
is that,
it'll
like a, just
be
like
out?
whenever you have time to do kind of
like
thing,
kinda or? Yeah, it's like the
not a full
like
time
with me
part.
It's like I not to say that like it's not my fault, but like I think that even though I have Counterparts, like it's, you know, you have my schedule, but then you also have like Will's schedule, and he records full time and he's always doing shit. Greg does the same thing. Jay's like a barber, you know, and it's like, it's, you know, Billy's in a shitload of different bands. It's like, there's so much, it's really hard to get the schedules to line up, but, I think towards the end of this year, we'll be doing some shows again and stuff cool. like that. And then I ask stuff pretty much like we have a group chat, and we just kind of go like, hey, like, you know, this tour is happening and they want us on these dates. Is everyone down? And I'm like, nah, I'm in Japan. And then, you know, and then it's like,
Barbara
someone else
like,
will say,
I would love to do those things.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Exactly. Jay's like, oh, I'm down. And then I'm like, ah, I'm fucking in Europe then. Sorry. But, and Will's like, oh no, I'm doing, you know, mm-hmm. God knows what. I'm recording another Body Count record or some shit. Like, I'm with Ice-T right now. I can't leave.
Right.
Like that type of stuff. But yeah, like it's very, I mean, like Lamb Goat, you guys, after the private room tour that we did, like you guys did post, like I posted that like thing of me like this mm-hmm. or whatever. And it was like, yeah, like, and in the studio, like it's done. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's done, like, being mixed and mastered and all of that stuff, but the tracking for the new end record is done.
Cool.
So it's, but then again, like it is, you know, there is no deadline. It's a side project. Like, you know, there's not some label being like, Will, we need the fucking masters by next week. He's just like, no, he works on it whenever
he has free
like
time.
When we were doing the Counterparts record, like, you know, he'd be like, do you have anything to record today? And I'm like, no, I got to go write it. And he's like, okay, I'm just going to try and mix the end record then. And it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like he's sitting in a chair getting yelled at by me all fucking day. And then he has to – then I leave the room and then he's still being Works yelled at me. Yeah. All like I'm – there's like all day. I'm like – I feel so bad for him. But
– well, that kind of wraps it up because I had to – pee like a racehorse.
Let's go.
So if you have anything else that you want to like kind of sign off on, or if you want to like, you know, shout out any other band that you're kind of listening to that we should check out.
Lou Bega put out a song with Scatman in it. Like Scatman John.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. It's called Scatman and Hatman. That's what I listen to.
Did you fuck with the Sting and the
Shaggy? No. No, I listened to a bit of it. It was kind of weird.
It's weird you mentioned Lou Bega and the Mambo Number 5.
Straight up, but and like, and trust me, as an avid fan of both Scatman John and Lou Bega, I couldn't believe that they you know, posthumously mm-hmm. he got him on the track. It's fucking crazy.
They're never really dead, man. Tupac's been on a lot of rap records after.
Straight up, time. Straight up, that's true. And I mean, Scatman lives in all of us. He's fucking.
Dude, I saw
always around.
One of his random ass videos on YouTube the other night, and it was just like him live in concert as the Scat Man. I didn't know that was an actual thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like, that's a weird thing to purchase.
I watched the documentary about him. It's insane. You know, like this. I don't know if how deep of a dive you've went in, and I mean,
don't deep dive Scatman.
I won't go too deep because you might
other weird Google search results.
Definitely, yeah. And I also don't want you to piss yourself, but for the people on the podcast, Scatman had a stutter, a very severe stutter.
Oh, really?
As he was growing up, and he was like bullied for it and stuff, and then he was like a jazz musician, like jazz pianist, I guess, and stuff, and he did that, and he started scatting, and then he realized like. When he would go like ba da ba ba like whatever, he didn't stutter anymore.
Yeah, interesting.
So he's like, I was the guy that everyone made fun of for my voice and my stutter, and now
I'm go down that
now
hole.
I'm a fucking star. And he had hits, man. Scatman's World too, fucking regular. He's good.
You're a big fan.
Yeah,
it's not really like a joke.
Scatman rocks, fan, dude. Yeah. He fucking
he's on your iPod.
He rocked. We. Like, we started listening to him as a joke, and then that's
always how it happens.
That's literally everything. Everything that we like starts as a joke, and then suddenly I'm just like, it's just me now.
Yeah.
That's just...
There was this one song, Hearts on Fire by Hammerfall. Have you ever heard of that?
Sure, sure.
Jesus, I saw that on, like, MTV2 way back in the day, and it just looked so silly to me.
Yep, all of a sudden, and then you keep...
Like, now it's, like, ingrained in my DNA.
Keep jamming it. Yeah. We used to make fun of, like Love Shack, like we'd be like, oh, song sucks, and then like now we do it all, like do it at karaoke all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's
it's
like
it's our shit, you know.
21 Pilots came to town like a couple months ago.
Yep.
And I'm not gonna go buy a ticket to go to see
sure,
the show.
Sure,
that's not my thing.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if we had been in the crowd, everyone here would have known five songs.
Of course,
like
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely, yeah. That's
one of those like
things. It's the way it goes. You know, you can't
Nickelback too, and you'd know more Nickelback songs than you'd want to admit.
Oh God. Tyler would listen to it on the drive, and I'm like, I know fucking every word.
Yeah, right?
Like, you know, it might just be the fact that I'm Canadian, and, you know,
well,
it might
yeah,
be
good time
might in. Be ingrained in my, you know, in my blood, my maple syrup blood, but it's...
Yeah, before we cut out, because that reminded me, because I was thinking of Nickelback and, like, record...
Of course.
Record label beef. Was there any, like, really... what was the beef between you and you guys and Victory back in the day? Was there any like bad beef or
there
split?
Wasn't.
Okay.
That's the weirdest part. There wasn't. It's like everyone always
did you guys complete
like
your like offers your
yeah,
your kind
yeah,
of
we just like we did our shit, and then our lawyer was like, you don't have to do another record with them. Like you're free to go. So we emailed them and we're like, hey, we're contractually
breaking up by email.
Like allowed to leave, and we're going to. And they just went, okay,
cool.
See ya.
Yeah.
And we're like, thanks. And it was like fucking crazy. Like I, you know, and I hear obviously like even before we signed to the label, like we hear all the stories, you know, and all the lawsuits and the millions of dollars and stuff. But I just think that we were such like a small fry band for them that, you know, we were like,
yeah, because it wasn't
like, you know,
early. It was somewhat early on your.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure
exactly.
If, like,
yeah.
You
it was
charted. Your
it was. It was too
like a. With them, it would have been
sure. It would have been, yeah. You know, they would have tried to, you know, dig into it a little bit harder. But
you did that with Was it Pure Noise then? Or I know it's like a little off print when you charted your, was it through the, because you had two albums that charted on Billboard.
It was, I think.
Or two or three.
I think the last three. So it was like Helen Home was on Victory. That charted. Tragedy charted. That was Pure Noise. And then You're Not You as well.
Yeah.
Like those three. But then, but yeah, the first two, they were like, the first record was only ever released in Canada. The second record was on Victory, but it was like, you know, our like breakthrough mm-hmm. was 2013. So yeah, like, you know, they, and even then, like even Helen Home, like even though it did well, it was like we were a small band back then. I mean, like we're not that fucking big now, and you know, anyway, but whatever. But like, yeah, we like, you hear so many crazy fucking stories.
Yeah, you always have
involving so much money, and that's the thing. And everybody always asks her, like, "Yo, like, is it fucking true? Like, is it crazy?" And I'm like, I think
like bands still sign, so it's like, why?
Of course, you know, yeah.
So honestly, like, why would they if it was like a shit label?
And to be fair, like, they were the only label that wanted us. Everybody else yeah. that we talked to were just like, "You're out of your mind, yeah. No fucking way." And we were like, shit. And then Victory was like, we'll put your record out and pay you to pay money to record it. And we were like, well, okay,
done,
cool, yeah, that sounds good to me. So we did it, and I think the only argument we ever got in was we were doing like a repress of Helen Home, and they were like, hey, we're gonna do a vinyl repress, we're gonna do blue vinyl. And I was like, well, don't do blue. Could like do green because there's green on the cover. And yeah. they were like, well, we really want to do blue. And I was like,
look, we got a deal on the blue color.
Yeah, I'm like, why are you arguing with me? Like, just pick, just get the color, just get the green one. Like, and then eventually I was just like, you know what, I don't give a shit. I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like, the record's a couple years old, like, print as many fucking blue vinyl as you want, it right. doesn't matter. but that was it. And it's like, you know, like, not that I wish we had some like crazy fucking lawsuit story, but
right.
you know,
less headache for you. Huh?
I mean, unless we win, yeah, like, yeah, I'll take a couple million dollars for sure. But we're never going to be that big to begin with. But yeah, I mean, our time there was cool. But cool. then when it came time to leave, we were like, you know, my gripe with the label was just like, it just operated kind of like the way it, not operated, but it was just like, it was a little bit dated. Like, I think that they didn't really understand like what we were trying to do because they are an older label. So I'm like, you know what? I just want to be like, I don't want to have to like convince people that I'm on, that run my label, like, this is a good idea for us. Trust me. Right. I'd rather just be with someone like Jake, who I'm just like, hey, we're going to do this thing. And he's just like, yeah, well, do whatever you want.
They're killing it over there, Pure Noise right now anyway.
Straight up. Yeah. It's amazing.
They've only been around for like, what, 10 years or so?
Yeah, yeah, it like hasn't been too long, but
they seem to be like kind of hip and with it, with their finger also on the pulse.
Exactly, extremely on the pulse. Like, new bands pop up, I'm like Chamber from Nashville. Yeah. I'm like, that band fucking rocks. And then like, you know, a week later, it's like Pure Noise Records.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, okay,
that's why. That's how
they,
I know.
It's like they came through the little, they got it. Yeah,
they came through the little situation for Lamb Goat. So
yep.
All right, brother. Well, Brandon, thank you for joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having me. Hopefully it wasn't too boring, you know?
Yeah, no.
But
we had a really niche podcast with Jamie King about like recording and stuff like that. Not necessarily saying that was boring, but it was just niche.
Sure, sure. I think I've got something that
Canadians, all 37 million 37 might million. Tune into this one because you're on.
We'll see. Yeah. Hopefully. Fuck.
All right.
I'm saying great things. I'm definitely not talking about how hard Canada's it is to tour Canada
I
now.
I love great. I love Canada.
It does rock.
Yes, we're out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to None But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!